We'll start at verse 1, Psalm 104, verse 1. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests, the stork has its home, the junipers. The high mountains belong to the wild goats, the crags are a refuge for the hyrax. He made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then people go out to their work, to their labor until evening. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, without doubt, one of the greatest joys in my life is being a father to my two little kids. Being a dad to little kids is a lot of fun, it seems to me, especially because they're still under the illusion that their dad is incredibly big and strong and clever. We've got a book at home called My Daddy is a Giant. It's a book from the perspective of a boy, and he describes how awesome his dad is. He says, when my dad sneezes, it's like a hurricane. When my dad runs, the ground shakes. He says, when we play hide and seek, my daddy has to hide behind a mountain. You might have heard kids bragging to each other about their dads. When we go to Bunnings, my dad lets me push the trolley. Oh yeah, well, my dad gives us fizzy drinks on the weekend. Yeah, well, my dad drives a Harley Davidson. My own dad was not a motorbike kind of guy, but I do remember being extremely impressed when he opened up the top cupboard on the wardrobe and pulled out his old mountain climbing gear with which he used to ski and scale the slopes of New Zealand. He showed us the huge backpack and the pickaxe. He showed us the round red helmet and the clamp-ons for his boots. And I got to say, I thought my dad was pretty cool. But you know the best thing about my dad is that he read the Bible to me. He prayed with me, and he taught me that I have another dad, an even better dad, the best dad. And that is who we're going to be thinking about tonight, our Father in heaven. And I'm aware that as we talk about dads, that may actually be quite a painful, sad thing for you. But I want you to know that no matter what your earthly dad was like, whether he was present in your life or not, whether he was a good man or not, there's good news for all of us tonight, because our Heavenly Father is very present and very good. And when you know this dad, it will change your whole life in the best way possible. So let's get into it. We're going to turn our attention to God the Father and think about how amazing he is. Tonight we're continuing in our I Believe sermon series as we explore the Apostles' Creed together. If you haven't heard of the Apostles' Creed, it was written nearly 2,000 years ago, dating right back to the early Christians who wanted to be stating what they believed clearly and simply. This creed is what they came up with. It is a punchy statement of faith that has stood the test of time. And I'd like to invite us to say it aloud together now. So if you feel comfortable, please join in as we say these words together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So last week we looked at how our God is one God in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we see that, don't we, in the way that the Apostles' Creed is laid out. And more importantly, we see this clearly revealed in the Bible. Father, Son, and Spirit, equal in power, equal in glory, three distinct persons, and yet there is but one God. Now, tonight, we're going to turn our attention particularly to God the Father as we look at the first line of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. The Heidelberg Catechism helps us understand what this means in Lord's Day 9, question and answer 26. The question there is, what do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Answer, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. It all begins on the first page of the Bible, doesn't it? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What did he use to create the heavens and the earth? His words, nothing else. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, and God said, and God said, and there it all was, just springing into existence out of nothing. The entire universe, the planets, the plants, the plasma, all existing through the sheer almighty power of God. Psalm 33 says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth." When the Jewish people spoke of the heavens, they were speaking both of the physical realm. You know, that's everything that's up there in the sky. They estimate maybe about 200 billion galaxies out there beyond the Milky Way. They were also thinking of the spiritual realm, what we might call heaven, the unseen place where God lives with his angels in unapproachable light. And God made all of this with a word. And he did it alone, without any help. Have you ever gone camping and tried to set up the tent on your own? You know, you just managed to stand up this tent pole, and then you go over to this one and that one falls over, and then you're pulling on the fly, and then you get this side on, and then that side falls off, and yet in Isaiah 44 we read this. "This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself." And so the Heidelberg Catechism rightly says that out of nothing, the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ created heaven and earth and everything in them. But then it adds something very important. It says that he still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence. Take a look at your watch for a second, if you wear a watch. I wear a watch. This watch was made by somebody with great care and precision. But that person isn't here now, are they? They aren't hovering around my wrist just making sure it's still working. No, the watchmaker creates his masterpiece, and then he steps away and he lets it run. And friends, God is not like that watchmaker. God didn't make our world, wind it up, and then step back to just let it do its thing. We may sometimes think that, because it can appear that our world is spiraling out of control when we see chaos and evil and natural disasters. When we see suffering in our lives that seems random and pointless. But friends, Scripture is very clear that God is not oblivious to all of this. He is near, not distant. And he's not watching in dismay, like an inventor who's created some kind of terrifying robot that he suddenly can't control anymore. No, even after the fall into sin, even after God's perfectly good creation was subjected to the state of decay and evil, God still upholds and rules by his eternal counsel and providence. What a beautiful description of this we just saw before as we read Psalm 104. Verses 14 to 15, he makes grass grow for the cattle, and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. And then verses 20 to 21, it says, you bring darkness. It becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lion roars for their prey and seek their food from God. And see verses 27 to 30, all creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. What kind of God is this? What kind of intimate love and care is this? Friends, he didn't create the world as a kind of random experiment. Like we might make something out of Lego. And then forget about it and then maybe get bored and pull it apart and make something new. No, he created this world. He created you and me with intense love, with intimate care, with intricate precision. And now every single second of every single day of every single year, he continues to care for you and for me, for every single person on the planet and every animal and every insect and every plant. Every time the sun rises or rain falls, God is there. Every time you sit down to another meal, God is there. Every time a daffodil appears in spring, God is there. Every time you see a bird find a worm, God is there. Every time you see a dead bird on the ground, God is there. Jesus was once sitting outside teaching and he said this, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." And then a little while later, Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." It's incredible. How marvelous that the God who is almighty, who lives in unapproachable light, who is utterly holy and glorious, that he is our God. And he's not just creator. He's sustainer and he's provider. He's ruler and he's shepherd and he is even our Father. Pause to consider that. This Almighty God is your Father. He's our Dad. You say, "But I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to have God as my loving dad, not after the way I've treated him. Not after the way I've failed to say thank you for the trillion ways that he's been caring for me all through my life that I didn't even think about. Not after I've paid him so little attention and I'm just always caught up chasing after what I want, what I desire again and again and again. Not after I said, 'Get lost, Dad,' and I ran away from home." That's what we've done. And you're right, we don't deserve it. We have blown it. Every one of us have despised God, the Father Almighty, the one who lovingly creates us and sustains us and cares for us. It's a crime of cosmic proportions. And so we stand under the law, condemned and deserving of the worst punishment imaginable. A crime against God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. But our Father is amazing. So amazing that after creating us and sustaining us, he then went on to save us and to adopt us back into his family. This is what it says in Galatians 4. "When the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, 'Abba.'" It's Aramaic for like dada, father. "So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." This is what the authors of the Heidelberg Catechism want us to marvel at. that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created the heavens and the earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. I'm not sure what your father is like or was like. Maybe you never knew him. Maybe you wish you never knew him. Maybe he was a decent man, but he wasn't very kind or loving. Maybe he was a wonderful dad. Whatever our experiences with our earthly dads, it is all surpassed by the glory of our Father in heaven. And if you put your faith in Jesus, God's Son, then his Father becomes your Father. You will be adopted into his family. You will be given an eternal inheritance, and you will have his Spirit in your heart each day, reassuring you. Yes, the Almighty God is my Father, my Abba, my Dad. As we draw things to a close, let's just all surpassing peace that comes from knowing him. Almighty Father, all surpassing peace. Question and answer 26 in the Heidelberg Catechism actually includes a bit more that we haven't looked at yet. This is what it goes on to say. I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. That's right, isn't it? If this God is for us, if he is our Father forevermore, then I can trust him. You can trust him. What are you worried about at the moment? What are the situations, the problems, the people in your life who you are concerned about at the moment? Are you sometimes tempted to despair? To feel all alone? To throw up your hands in the air because it's just all too hard? It's beyond repair. Hear the words of Psalm 55. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. In 1 Peter 5, we're told, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. How can I be sure that he's going to care for me, you ask? He doesn't seem to be doing things the way I would do them. It seems to be taking a very long time. And it seems to involve an awful lot of hardship in the meantime. How can I be sure that he really is hearing my prayers? How can I be sure that he really will care for me now and always? Look again at the words of the Catechism. I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. Is God able to help you? Is he able to? Yes, he's Almighty. A billion stars just leapt into the night sky at his command. The Red Sea was carved in half by his power. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead So yeah, he is able to help you. But he's not just able, he's also willing. He's not just willing, he's eager. If he delights to dress the daisies and feed the sparrows, how much more will he delight to care for human beings who are made in his image? If your earthly dad cared for you and didn't give you a stone when you asked for bread, how much more will your heavenly dad give good gifts to those who ask him? If God did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. At the start, I spoke about that kid's book called My Daddy is a Giant. The book describes this big, strong, awesome dad, and then at the end, the boy says this: I'm not scared of anything when I'm in my daddy's arms. Well, how much more true it is for those of us who rest in the arms of our Heavenly Father. When you think about your almighty, divine dad, doesn't it begin to release the stress in your shoulders? Even right now as you sit here? Doesn't this change the way you'll face tomorrow's to-do list? Won't this help you persevere in seasons of grief and pain? Won't this hold you fast, even when your faith feels weak, even when you have doubts? Perhaps what we really need to do as we wake up tomorrow is to recite the splendid words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We need to keep preaching this to ourselves, don't we? Kneading it into our hearts like a baker kneads yeast into dough. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Earlier this afternoon, I had the joy of speaking to an elderly woman who had just given her life to the Lord. I was prompted to go over to her. Someone said, you need to go and chat to her. She's got something to tell you. As I went over, I asked her how she was, and she said, I'm happy. And I said, why are you happy, Bev? She said, I'm happy because I've made a decision. I said, what decision have you made, Bev? She said, I've made the decision to give my life to the Lord. And now I feel relieved, and I feel happy, and I feel at peace. What a joy to make peace with God Almighty through Jesus, his Son, eh? What a comfort to know you are a child of God and he will provide for us now and forevermore. Let's pray to him together. Our Father in heaven, we're so glad to be your kids. In spite of everything we've done to run away from you, you brought us back through Jesus. And so now we're here to praise you as we should for being maker of heaven and earth. So almighty and powerful and awesome. And so loving and caring and tender towards us. Thank you that we can trust you completely now and forevermore. We give you thanks through Jesus. Amen.